This is a People First Radio podcast.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
A few years ago, families in Richmond, British Columbia, with either parents with a mental illness or with loved ones with mental illness, were asked what they felt would make a positive difference to parenting and family wellness. Over 50 parents provided feedback, which was then used to develop a three-year plan for supporting families living with mental illness and or addictions. Since then, Richmond has served 120 families through a number of programs, which are jointly provided and facilitated by staff from Vancouver Coastal Health, Richmond Addiction Services, and other community agencies. Benjamin Wong is a counselor with Richmond Addictions Services Society and a key partner in the Richmond Supporting Families Project. Benjamin shared the experiences of his organization and the community in a presentation titled Listening to Families, Building Collaborative Programs at the Canadian Collaborative Mental Health Care Conference in Calgary on June 19, 2015. Here's Benjamin Wong.
So the title for our presentation here, Listening to Families, that's how we started the collaborative approach. Back in 2008, we began work as a result of a couple of, well, actually, to be accurate, three high-profile child protection cases in British Columbia. And us, Richmond, British Columbia. Richmond is a suburb in Vancouver. It's considered the airport town. And Richmond, as well as the city of Vernon, we championed this collaborative effort of tying together resources, agencies that relate to mental health, child protection, addictions, in order to better support families, especially children growing up in households where parents or both parents struggle with mental health and or addictions issues. So the learning objectives, hopefully I will give you a sense of what the collaborative process had been like with parents, collaborative process among community agencies and with the communities, and also how collaboration works with multiple organizations and roles. Oftentimes when families, when they go into a certain access into the mental health system, they're not entirely sure of what exactly, what are the services available for them to access, what services they should consider, what services could better fit, meet some of the needs that they have, or they don't even have the words to verbalize what their needs are. The collaborative table, the main focus had been to allow all the relevant resources that any typical family coming into the system might benefit from, and hence the collaboration of the various agencies on the table. Mental illness indirectly affects all Canadians at some time through a family member, friend, or colleague. 20% of Canadians will personally experience mental illness in their lifetime. And mental illness also affects people of all ages. So we know that for a fact. As well, adults with mental health or addictions issues have children and parents at the same rate as general population, which is very true. And the main focus to start with this collaboration had been to look at the specific developmental needs of children struggling with parents, grandparents, caregivers, in short, who struggle with mental health and addictions. Now, these are some of the components, the outcome, these are the outcome components of what had resulted from all the collaboration with the community, with agencies, with stakeholders, with funders, and I'll just quickly go through them. The Resilient Kids and Parent Group, that's a group for kids between ages 8 to 12, which have been what I participated in, leading some of these groups. Resilient Youth groups for ages 13 to 18, we deal with consultation, interagency consultation. For example, when the mental health agency encounters a family with mental health issues, when they uncover child protection issues, they would talk to MCFD, they would talk to Ministry of Children and Families. When they uncover addictions issues, they would be referred to us specifically to work on substance use and or video gaming issues. Community education would be more psycho-ed type material put out in the community to educate and to raise awareness, as well as awareness of the issues, as well as awareness of the available resources in the community. Super Saturdays and Sundays, those are a fun time. These are fun activities, ongoing activities for families who have come into our door to enjoy, and as well as a platform to connect with families, clinicians, community support people, and also some of the fun nights there. We take a family lens. Question here for all of you. How many of you are part of a family? We will all raise our hands. How many of you have loved or supported someone who lives with a mental illness or addiction? The majority of us will also raise our hands. How many of you discuss mental illness and addictions in families with those who you work with? And this is our purpose. This is the purpose. We hope to, as any time when we ask this question, that clinicians would all raise their hands, which hadn't really been the case, especially in the community of Richmond. Before 2008, the various agencies, we sort of took an approach that we would collaborate, but we would go through all the hoopla's of informed consents and all of those things. And this table really attempted to cut out some of the barriers that were limiting families' access to relevant services that they could benefit from. So this is us, Richmond Supporting Families Collaboration. We use a collaborative model to support families who are impacted by parental mental illness and or addictions through groups, community action, education, facilitating the connection to community services as soon as, say, a school teacher finds out from a fifth grader who reveals to her that I'm struggling with a father who drinks at home. That's when the family is looked after. That's when the family is recommended of services. That's when we try to navigate through some of the confidentiality barrier to reach to the point where we bring not just the parents, but the child, siblings, uncles and aunts, whoever is in the care, family doctors, into the support network, which before, many kids would be struggling with dealing with parental mental health and or addictions, but they wouldn't know what to do. Not until their development had been so negatively impacted that they develop certain behavioral issues, emotional issues, mental health issues. But by then, of course, we know it would have been a bit later than we could have done something. Collaboration, we want to work jointly towards commonly defined goals together, defining and sharing responsibility of achieving tasks, understanding the process of idea sharing, and an integral part of creating innovative practice ideas. The thing to keep in mind is that there isn't a clear formula. We wish there would be, but there really isn't one. Because stakeholders, we've got different sources of funding, we've got different angles looking at things. But the main point is as long as we're able to communicate in a way to really, really emphasize that family is the lens, family as a whole.
We're listening to Benjamin Wong. He's a counselor with Richmond Addiction Services Society, and Benjamin spoke at the Canadian Collaborative Mental Health Care Conference in Calgary on June 19, 2015. Vancouver Coastal Health, Richmond Addiction Services, and other community agencies have served 120 families in Richmond, British Columbia through a number of programs that have been gathered under the umbrella of a Supporting Families Project. The project works to make a positive difference in families with parents or guardians who have mental illness and or addictions. Here's more from Benjamin Wong.
How many of you work directly in the addictions field? Now, at some point, you will realize that addictions is not about the user. You know that addictions, at some point in the treatment of the user, you will have to address family issues. And chances are, if where you work, much like what, if it's anything like what we do at Richmond Addiction Services, If your door is open to family members coming in to seek help, you will realize that outcomes are way better. When family members experience low barriers in accessing services, which is what collaboratively all the agencies in the city of Richmond are doing. We put this point to just sort of keep in mind that there's no formula in the sense that there isn't a one-way-fits-all protocol for things to happen. It still goes back to the clinician's judgment. It still goes back to when the social worker detects a certain issue and makes the suggestion, given the rapport built with this particular family or client, to suggest, listen, may we talk to addictions? May I make that call? May I join you in doing a consultation session or a planning session with an addictions counselor? May we? It may not be an addiction in your addiction issue in your home. You may not want to deal with your smoking or your drinking, but let's talk about it. We are committed to keeping communication open. Communication open, the meaning that we want to have conversations as much as possible. Now, I know in the back of your heads you might be wondering, what about informed consent? What about confidentiality? Well, we've done some elaborate working through and debates over exactly how do we want to make us transparent. Earlier on, the session before, there was a question about if the collaborative parties were on the same electronic medical system. Well, in the city of Richmond, we're not on the same system. But even without the system, we found a way, because of the trust that we built among agencies, to do that. A related table to the supporting families table is the RICAT table, the Richmond Integrative Case Action Team, where we bring high-profile cases where we ask questions. We've got this individual attempting to commit suicide or committing a criminal offense. They've got this family member, that family member. Are they service? Who are they being service? What questions have we asked and so forth? The next point, committing the time required to negotiate across agencies, seeing through the eyes of each other, not just your own discipline, that's very important. That's extremely important. Oftentimes, we try to sort of weight which is the primary issue here. Is the mental health the more relevant issue to deal with? Is the addictions, or do we want to deal with addictions first? And whenever we find ourselves asking these questions, it is best to do what? To do a collaborative consultation. Why don't we just sit together, discuss with the family, and sort of brainstorm what exactly to do? Creating an atmosphere where all voices are part of decision-making and respecting the work of all members, working together to address issues and concerns as they surface. This is the reason why in every respective a member agency, in our regular educational staff meetings, we regularly visit each other to sit in, to sort of fill each other in on sort of the latest innovative thing that we're doing, giving education to each other, addictions receiving education for mental health regarding what would be what are the most common chronic mental health conditions that we're seeing between 8 to 18 year olds for the last couple of years or so. We try to do all these mutual in-service education to keep everybody up to date.
The Supporting Families Project in Richmond is built on collaborative approaches to mental health care. It emphasizes cooperation and collective action. Here's Benjamin Wong as he concludes his comments at the Canadian Collaborative Mental Health Care Conference in Calgary on June 19, 2015.
And developing this new lens of practice, we're creating a new story. We consider ourselves to be creating a new story. With collective action, cooperation, complex interactions, i.e., when we get together as a table, not only do we talk about the top-down issues of funding and policy and administration, but we also go into the clinical details. How do we collaboratively help a kid who's been bullied, who are showing signs of PTSD, who are showing signs of depression, as well as struggling with mom's drinking? And building trust and relationships along the way, too. these are the sort of the points that we found when we set up these partnerships. What happened in 2008, we began by bringing families struggling with issues, struggling with mental health issues, struggling with addiction, struggling with navigating the system, together in an elaborate attempt to find out what are the needs. We ran, I believe it was 3 or 4 rounds of focus groups, asking families questions and having long discussions in tying families together. Afterwards, what we did was to tie community partners, agencies together, and these were the things that we found. Children and families, they need to drive the plan because they are the ones who are the most affected, who would be the most intimate in terms of if the service is out there, whether it works or not. Children are part of the team too. We ask teenagers. We talk to kids as young as 13, 14 years old. What do they want? What do they need? We want to promote hope. We look at needs rather than problems. We want to involve the entire family and not just in language but in actions and providing accurate, understandable, and complete information they need to make as they need to make informed choices. A few more pointers in terms of building partnership. What I want to point out here is to address barriers. Some of the biggest barriers when we get families together to come together and learn and get and connect have been transportation, food, as well as childcare. And with the funding, with our collaboration, we have been able to deal with all three of them in setting up what we do. The cornerstone program of our supporting families table had been the resilient kids groups and the resilient youth groups. Resilient kids would be 8 to 12 year olds. Resilient youth, they've got the 13 to 15 year olds and the 15 to 19 year olds. This is what we do. We run 8 to 10 week after school connecting platform groups for these kids 3 to 4 times a calendar year, in which kids do recreational, they do fun things, they go go-karting, they do laser tagging, they do fun things. They do fun things in the community. Along with the fun things, along with building relationships, we also teach them emotional vocabulary. So we help them to understand their condition. We help them connect with kids who are in similar situation. We help them to build a sense of community, all of that. And so addressing barriers was extremely important in order to bring these families together. Some other core values here: inclusivity, honoring client voices. We take clients' feedback very, very seriously, and with this collaboration, we have made our services more accessible.
Benjamin Wong is a counselor with Richmond Addiction Services Society. You can find them online at richmondaddictions.ca. The organization is one of a group of partners in Richmond, British Columbia, offering services in a project called Supporting Families. You can find out more about that project online at supportingfamilies.ca. You can find out more about the annual Canadian Collaborative Mental Health Care Conference online at sharedcare.ca, and that's shared-care.ca.
People First Radio is an initiative of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and broadcast on CHLY 101.7, radio from Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed are not necessarily those of the partnering organizations. Listen to People First Radio on demand. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpages.